Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 2. And as you're turning there, we're going to very briefly look at 2 Corinthians 10:12. The Word of God says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." This is a very powerful portion of Scripture. They, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. This is something that happens a lot, I believe, in Christianity. Certainly not everywhere, but in some places where people live in a comparison and they live in a relative righteousness where my righteousness is greater than this one's, but perhaps it's not as good as this other one's. I'm not like this person is. Now, we heard that the publican prayed that way, "Thank God that I'm not as other men are." He was living in relative righteousness. He thought he was pretty good because apparently he had some sort of an outward performance that he managed to sustain for a while. Whereas the publican, he didn't do so well. He wouldn't even go in to the chamber. He would not even go into the temple and he would not even look up. He just said, "God, have mercy on me. I'm a wretched little sinner. Nothing good in me. I'm no good, but God, you are merciful, and so please have mercy on me." And the publican went away justified, and the Pharisee prayed to himself. Why did he pray to himself? Because his prayer was a prayer of comparison, not actually a prayer to God. The Pharisee was comparing himself and he was saying, "I'm doing pretty good." And that was the extent of his prayer. But that, Paul told us, is not wise. Paul had this happening also. Paul was this powerful missionary. Whenever you have a powerful preacher, ultimately, especially if you get some notoriety, ultimately people will start to compare themselves to that preacher. Or other people will try to compare them to that preacher. And the thought is, they're not like this one, or they're this way, and the other one is this way. Well, the Word of God tells us that every joint in the body of Christ supplies. Can you imagine a body that is all knuckles? This would be a problem. We're all knuckles. Like, how do you get anything? Can you imagine if your hand was nothing more than knuckles? No fingers, just the knuckles. How would you pick up something? Yeah, it is this tendency in Christianity that we tend to compare in this way. Perhaps there's a pastor that we like and we compare other pastors to that pastor. Or perhaps there's a way of doing things that we like and we compare other ways of doing things to that way. I remember somebody, we had a visitor one time, they didn't like the fact that I didn't use the 3-point sermon format. I don't care. I learned the 3-point sermon. I don't think it's particularly effective sometimes. Why? Because it doesn't allow for the spontaneity that the Holy Spirit likes to enjoy. And so you don't always get a 3-point sermon here. I'd rather have it be that way. But they'll compare and say, "Well, the correct sermon is a 3-point sermon, and it's supposed to be this much of this and this much of that and the other thing and three things." And you know what? Stuff a sock in it. I don't care. What I'm interested in knowing is what God thinks. I'm interested in having the mind of Christ. I'm interested in the leading of God. I'm interested in knowing the heart of God. I'm interested in knowing the way God does things. I'm not interested in a comparative analysis I'm interested in knowing, what does God think? Sometimes, and we absolutely believe in convictions, but sometimes maybe God will do things apart from convictions. Sometimes God will have, like Isaiah. Now, I believe in modesty. I believe Christians should dress like respectable people, not like they are trying to sell something. But I believe that a lady should have a properly covered body, and then a man should look respectable and like a decent man. But there is a time when God called Isaiah to walk around bare naked for 3 years. This would be scandalous in today's church. Right, there would be an element of comparing themselves among themselves.
Well, I don't walk around naked, I'm better.
You ever run into somebody who thought their spirituality was based on the fact that they drive 55 miles an hour in the fast lane? To them I would like to say, and if you are doing this and you are on the internet driving 55 miles an hour on the fast lane, it's called the passing lane. Pass somebody or move over. Thank you. But they compare themselves among themselves and they are not wise. There's this big debate over these things. Sprinkling or immersion. For the record, we believe immersion is better. But if you're in a communist persecuted country where you're going to be shot for immersion, go ahead and sprinkle. God's looking at the heart. God's not looking at the quantity of water. There's those who believe you can't be saved unless you're baptized. Try that in China, where they can't afford these kind of petty disputes and arguments. I remember Richard Wurmbrand's wife. She was in a communist prison for 3 years in Romania in the 50s. And she said, in this prison, they lost their disputes. And even the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Christians loved each other. Because they knew that if they didn't, that they would not survive. Now, I'm not propagating Islam or Jehovah's Witnesses at all. But I am saying something different here. There is no wisdom of comparison. There is nothing that I can glean from comparing the way that I do something with the way somebody else does something. What I get is a natural evaluation of what God said is His work. And that doesn't work. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. It's possible for me to do pretty well, perhaps, than other believers. I don't do that. I don't have that weakness. No, I'm just a little bit proud. And that's not good. You see, that comparison thing is painful to the Holy Spirit. Because it grieves Him. Because He knows that we are but one body. And we are all members of that same body. You know, I've never had a discussion with my hand. But if I did have a discussion with my hand, I don't think it would be talking about my foot. Although my hand has often been used to scratch my foot. But my hand often helps my foot, but my foot takes my hand places. Can you imagine trying to send your hand to work without your foot? Like, wouldn't that be strange? It wouldn't work. The body of Christ cannot be separated that way. Comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise because they are attempt to separate the body of Christ. But the Word of God tells us that we are of one body. Paul said, don't say I am of Paul or I am of Apollos, and even more, don't say I'm simply of Christ. But the body that you're called into, with all your heart, be a part of that local assembly. Be a part of that expression of the body of Christ. Don't say to yourselves, that is big and that is small. My little finger is not as big as my arm, but I would not like to lose my little finger. Joanna, when you play the oboe, how easy would it be to play without your fingers? It would be difficult, wouldn't it? Would it make a good sound? It would not make a good sound. If you had no lips, you had all the fingers that could really work all the keys just perfectly and in the right time. But if you had no lips, would you be able to make a good sound? No, you would not make a good sound. Don't say to yourselves, this one is like this and that one is like that. I am this compared to that one, or I am that compared to that one, or this is my worth because I am like this one, or I am more than this one, or less than that one. That is not wise. Comparing yourselves among yourselves, the apostle said, is a lack of wisdom. And it's a lack of wisdom because it separates one body. We are the body of the Savior. Why do you think that there are those who would compare themselves? Where do you think the thought came from? Well, Jesus told us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Who would divide the house of God? Who would be the one that says, look at that one? Well, in my Bible, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And I'm sure he is that in yours also. The one who initiates that is the enemy. Division of that sort comes from the enemy. How do we get unity as believers? Because we all possess the mind of Christ. When every believer operates through the Spirit in the mind of Christ, then you have unity. And when there are those who do not operate in the mind of Christ through the Spirit, then you have some disunity. But the body does not try to destroy itself. If the body tries to destroy itself, then we know something has gone wrong. In human terms, very frequently it is something akin to cancer, or perhaps mental illness, where the mind is not functioning properly, or the body has something growing in it that does not belong. This comparing selves among selves, this looking at someone and saying, they are like so, is not wise. The righteousness that I have is the righteousness that God gave me. I had no righteousness of my own. On my own, I'm no good. On your own, you're no good either. So it doesn't bother me to say I'm no good, because I'm in company of the same kind. But on my own, I'm no good. Paul said, there is no good thing in me. Isaiah said, my righteousness is filthy rags. Those are some nasty rags. But yet Christians tend to do this, where they compare themselves among themselves. Where they say, this one's doctrine is like so, and that one's way of doing is like so. But my Bible says that there is only one God, and that there is only one Word of God. And though there may be many applications, there is just the one interpretation. And the Bible interprets itself. In other words, God says what He means. And throughout the Word of God, you can find a commentary on the Word of God. And so when I want to know, I don't look so much to how do you do things. I look to the Holy Spirit. How should I do it? I look to the Word. Now, does that mean I don't need training? No, it doesn't. But it means that I live as a believer priest, autonomous before God, accountable and responsible, but also given the grace to stand before Him on my own as I function as a unique and individual member, a joint that supplies. Be careful not to find yourself in a position where comparison comes in. Maybe, let's use pastors. A pastor hears another pastor, and it's easy to compare. Perhaps style, perhaps delivery, perhaps responses. But that is not wise. Because God has not given one pastor the same portion as the next pastor. And so the pastor has to be the portion that God had made him to be, and likewise the other one. What if you are a pastor like Adoniram Judson was in Burma? Well, then you have one heck of a prison ministry. Because that's where he's lived for about 20 years. But maybe you're a pastor like somebody like Spurgeon, where the whole world knows your name and hears your messages. Was Judson less valuable in the kingdom of God than Spurgeon? Judson ended up with a few hundred believers after losing two wives. Twice he lost a wife, lost all his children, went to jail because the Burmese persecuted believers, and ended up in the end with only a few hundred people. Well, it's commonplace for churches to have a few hundred people, is it not? So what worth was his life? We may ask if we compare. Well, I don't know. The story is not over yet. But I do know that he wrote the only Burmese translation of the Bible that exists. I do remember when I was teaching at the community college in Baltimore City, I had a Burmese student and she asked me for a Bible. I won her to Christ and she asked me for a Bible. And I could go down to the Bible Society that used to be downtown and I bought her Judson's Bible. And she was so happy to have that. Now, this was about 150 years, close to 200 years after Judson died. But she was so happy to have that. What was the value of his life? I don't know. The story isn't over yet. Is the mind of Christ different in one man than in another? If it is the mind of Christ, it's not any different. Is the value of one call greater than the value of another? If it's God who's calling, they're no different. You see, we tend to have this thing. Young people, be careful not to get spirits of adventures just because there are some who are called to things that you consider adventurous. That spirit of adventure is a dangerous thing because it's not the Spirit of God. God will give you all the adventure. The location doesn't make the difference. Now, I'm not against going out on the field if that's where God calls you. I'm not for it either if that's not where He calls you. Make sure that your life is a life unto God and not a life unto other people. Even as your pastor, you don't live before me. And as a pastor, I have certain responsibilities before God in Hebrews 13. As a pastor, I will be accountable before God when I see Him face to face, and then I stand, He stands and He opens the books in judgment of my life. As a pastor, I will give an account to how I pastored. Did I preach it? Did I invest? Did I love people? and I will give an account. And by His grace, I have been given a gift to do that, and I have the responsibility in Hebrews 13 to look for people's souls. In Exodus 33, a pastor has to be a watchman, and he has to blow the trumpet, or blood is required of him. It's on his hands. And in 1 Corinthians 14, if he does not preach it clearly with certainty, then people get in trouble. So there is a portion in the body, but you still live before God. And when you stand before God, God is not going to compare you to how somebody else did it. God is going to say, how did you respond to the things I have given you? If a person lives in rebellion towards the things that came from the pulpit, if the pulpit is anointed, then God will want to know, why didn't you take what I said to you seriously, since it was the Spirit that was speaking to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3? Be careful about these comparison things. Sometimes it's possible that there are those you respect by sight and those you respect less by sight. But are they the portions God has given you? Sometimes you can see that. In our ministry, that's possible. Pastor Schaller is the head of the international ministry. But if you're called, let's say, to Pastor Duke or Pastor Mati, then they're your pastor. And if you're called to Pastor Mati, you go to Pastor Mati, you don't go to Pastor Schaller. Why? Because that is the unique portion God has called you to. On the other hand, if you're called to Pastor Schaller, you can enjoy Pastor Mati's fellowship, but respect the office that God has given you, your pastor. You see, this comparison thing, it happens frequently in the body of Christ, but it's not wise. I think sometimes the Savior has a dysfunctional body, and it's dysfunctional because they don't operate with the mind of Christ. All it really takes is that. I always say to people, don't try to ask me what to do. Learn how to think and you'll know what to do. Gain for yourselves the mind of God. I'll preach it, but you need to take it. And then you'll know how to think. And then you'll know what to do. This is the order that God set things up in. This is why every joint supplies. If I have a secretary, often I find she'll do things before I even ask. Why? Because she's thinking. That's why. She's anticipating. I have lots of people in the body of Christ. Unofficially, we have really two secretaries. And they do before you even ask. Why? Mind of Christ. Joanna leads our songs, and I don't tell her what songs to play. She always anticipates because it's through the Holy Spirit. And she's not even conscious of the anticipation, but the Holy Spirit brings her songs that bring unity and that complement the message. Why? Mind of Christ. This is where the body works in unity. But can you imagine that if the song leader compared herself to the pastor, or the pastor compared himself to the song leader? You know that happens in some places. It's not wise. Each joint has its own individual supply. And that supply is valuable to the body of Christ. Some people say to themselves, well, I don't do a whole lot. I'm not high profile. I'm not a secretary. I'm not the pastor. I'm not the song leader. What do I do? I'm not an elder. What do I do? You're a portion. You're a portion. You are the one who shares a portion at a rap that edifies the others. You go on outreach and you tell people about the Savior and somebody gets saved. You build the body up by your presence. Don't ever disregard the value of your portion because you're comparing yourself to another. It's not wise. Instead, learn to have the mind of Christ. And you won't even need to be told what to do within the body. You will simply enter it on your own because the Holy Spirit will lead you. You won't have to be told this is the way to submit or this is the way to do things within the delegated table of organization because the Holy Spirit will simply bring you there. There's a great deal of freedom in a place where the mind of Christ prevails because there's a great deal of unity. You don't have to tell people, come on outreach. They just come. They don't have to. Not everybody does because not everybody can. But those that can simply come. Why? Because there's a unity through the mind of Christ. So one of the things I love about our little church here is I've never had to say, hey guys, let's get with it. Let's go on outreach. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit's job. And if I did my part as a pastor, then the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You see, that comparison thing, it doesn't work. People will compare their righteousness to somebody else's. It doesn't work. People will gauge how they're doing by other believers. It doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because you can't tell. I've been in our ministry for 26 years. Going on 27 years. And I've seen some people who looked pretty amazing but could not stand the test. And I've seen some people who looked pretty rough by sight and they never wavered. Do you know why some people look rough by sight? Because they're constantly being tested. Do you know why they're being tested? Because God is training them to reign. See, they that suffer with Christ, reign with Him. So don't look at people and say, this one looks like they're doing great, and this one looks like they're doing poorly. This one is amazing. I get tired of the word sometimes. You hear it all the time. Oh, they're amazing. People used to tell me that in Bible college. It was a platitude. It meant nothing. People used to say to them, oh, you're so amazing. I got so sick of it, I finally turned around to one of them and said, why? They didn't know what to do with that. Because they couldn't answer. You don't even know me. Why do you think I'm amazing? Maybe I'm rotten. Maybe I'm a burglar. What do you know about me? Call me amazing. Nobody is amazing. The Savior is amazing. Now, it's not wrong to appreciate somebody's portion in the body. That's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine to edify people. But don't get to this point of looking at people by sight and saying, this one is like this and this one is like that and this is how I measure up. It happens in the body of Christ. It's not wise. Pastor Moore in New York, Malta. That guy has been going at it for about, I think, 25 or 30 years as a pastor. He's never had a big church. Never. By sight, you would say, he's not doing so great. But he's put out more missionaries and more pastors probably than any other pastor I know of in a branch ministry. Why? Because he wasn't looking for the quantity. He was looking for the quality. It's pretty simple. The world knows that. But people might look at him and say, wow, we used to have a church in a large city. I won't name it because people still remember them. But we used to have a church in a nearby large city that had about 600, 700, maybe 800 people. And everybody was so impressed by the pastor. He was very scholarly and academic and he could preach up a storm. Did you know that he went apostate? He went apostate. He followed kingdom theology. That was so ridiculous. He went apostate. And he took a large portion of his congregation with him for a little while. And I believe it all broke up in the end. But those people who were very impressed by him were then very disappointed by him. But if you simply live before God and you simply build up yourselves in your most holy faith, if you get to know the character of God in your life, then these things won't shake you, because you'll realize that while we are but dust and we're all made of the same dust, it's not like one dust is better than the other dust. It's not like velvet pancakes. You ever have velvet pancakes? There's a place called Cinnamon's in Honolulu that has velvet pancakes. They are amazing. They're better than butter. What do you call it? Buttermilk pancakes. They're better. Why? They're made of different stuff. But you know what? There is no velvet pancake believer. There really isn't. We're all made of the same dust. So never be too impressed by anybody's dust. And never see somebody's dust in such a way that you think your dust is any better. One thing I know is that apart from Christ, there is no good thing in me. That I have no righteousness in myself. And that apart from Him, I can do nothing. This part I have figured out. Now, no one is any different. No one is in a different position whereby any good thing apart from Christ exists in them. I don't care if you're talking about Billy Graham. Billy Graham did what he did simply by the Spirit of God. Just like somebody you never heard of who served God with all their might, but nobody ever got to see them. Who do you think will get the bigger reward in heaven? Well, it depends on their heart. We can't tell. So never get to the place where you compare yourself, because it's the mind of Christ through the Spirit of God that turns us into one body of Christ, not two. Amen?